Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord loves his people. I can't say that enough. He loves us so much, and he cares about every aspect of life. He expects us to receive life, learn about life, and relay life. Jesus said, learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. This process of life is replayed over and over again. In 1 Peter teaches us to love with unfeigned love towards everybody, representing the love that Christ showed towards us. The idea is to love people just like God loved you. And that became our only law. We're just like Adam, so there's no... He didn't give the church 10 commandments, even though they're still in place. If somebody wants to do wrong, then they got to deal with the strength of the law, which is the 10 commandments. Now, and the law, all of the law is the strength of sin. If there was no law, then sin would have no strength. But it has strength. Jesus even said if people didn't see the miracles that he did and the things that he did, they wouldn't even have sin. But because light exists, you're showing people that there is a way out. When we represent Jesus, when we obey him, when we receive healing, when we receive his love and relate, we prove to people that God is and that they can trust him. There's a reason they should trust him. But when people get in pride, they're like the Pharisees. They block the gates of heaven. They block people from going through the gates of heaven. And they make anybody that listens to them twice a child of hell than they were. We can't afford to live against the revelation that we have received. We have to live according to the love of God, because the love of God is the purpose of God. Through the love of God, we have purpose. Through love, God has purpose. And he loves us so much. And that's just who he is. That's how God is. He is love. And he cares about each and every one of us. All of us are very important to him. And it's very important that we operate according to his wonderful love. It'll never go away. But the darkness is opposite of the love of God. The darkness of the enemy, Satan, is the opposite of God's love. We need God in our life. We need his ways. We need his thoughts. We need to know what he knows. And all we have to do is ask. Now, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He prayed the Father that he would send the Holy Spirit so that we can be guided into all truth. So we need to be relating and we need to be guided into all truth. Now, arrogance. When people are arrogant, they don't learn the same. When people get in pride, they don't learn. They block knowledge from, they don't listen. Some people are stout-hearted. They become hard-headed. And they only listen to who they deem necessary. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Even when it comes from Christians of other denominations, if they're right, they're right. Whenever somebody's right, they're just right. And they're not going to be wrong because you don't think they're smart. Or they're not going to be wrong just because you think you're greater than they are. If they're right, they're right. If they speak a word, and I've heard of so many people, situations, if somebody spoke a word that would have saved the day, because they had respect to persons, they didn't hear it and they didn't receive it. And I've known this, I've had this to happen myself. I've seen it firsthand. So I experienced it, seen it firsthand. The Lord would send me with a message. He gave me revelation. And I would take it to pastors mostly, and sometimes just Christian people. But they felt like they didn't have to listen to me. It's not about me. It's about who sent me. And so I began to understand a problem. And the problem was worse than I thought it was. Much worse than I thought it was. And every time I learned that the problem was greater, I felt sorry for people who didn't know. I felt like this problem was not going to go away fast, and it wasn't. Because people bear fruit after their type. And Jesus always gave his people his word. You know, sometimes, when Jesus sent the 70 out, he said, this is Luke chapter 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So this is the next set of 70, or the second set also. And he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Then he said, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. And salute no man, by the way. Elder Lewis taught me that. He said, salute no man, by the way, because Jews would ask about every member of the family. And they will, you know, that was a tradition. They didn't have time for that. They had to conduct themselves like they were on a mission so that people would respect the fact that they were. All right. He said, and into whatsoever house you enter, pray. And first say, peace be to this house. And if the sound of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house, remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. In other words, do what God guides you to do. Don't go house to house. Ministry, you don't have to get everybody on board with what you're doing. You know, when you go to a city, and looking at this, that's the reason he said, go not from house to house. And this important. If Jesus said it, it's important. He once gave me revelation on that. You know, and when we do it the way he said do it, it's going to work. In other words, don't depend on people to do what God gave you to do. And the Holy Spirit's with you. He'll show you where to go. You know, I'm not trying to add to the word, but that's how it is. But he said, watch this. He said, and into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Appreciate those that help you, however they help. And heal the sick that are there in you. And say to them, the kingdom of God is near to you. Now my pastor said, heal the sick. Kenneth Hagin said, heal the sick. Lay hands on people. And our pastor, a wonderful man of God, he said he anointed everybody that wanted. He imparted the healing anointing on the people. And said, start laying hands on the sick. Don't be apprehensive. And he said, you know, I know some would say, well, what if they don't get healed? I love to come back. Well, what if they do? If you believe God, if you involve God, God will be involved. You don't have to worry about what he's going to do. He's going to do his part. and he loves his people. And he'll show up and show out. It's not about you, it's about him. We have to believe God. In order, you have to believe in what you're doing. People that stop believing in what they're doing, they stop ministering and they stop the revival that they could be conducting. Revivals don't depend on some out of town evangelist to come to town and bring a revival. Prayer. You bring a revival where you go, at your will. Everywhere you go, you can take revival with you. You can take the love of God with you everywhere you go, and it will work. And all the Lord needs is somebody to believe him that will act. Then he'll act on their behalf. And you don't need people to believe in you. You just believe in what God is doing through you. And God will work through you. Everybody, this is something that's not limited to ministry. Traditional ministry, you can let ministry be limited to your traditions, or you can go and minister to people. You don't need an entourage to do the will and works of God. You don't need a stage and a platform and a building. You just need to be available to the Holy Spirit and love the people that's around you. And you don't even need money to do that. Just walk in the love of God. Lay hands on people and expect God to move, and he'll work. Share the word. Do what God give you to do. He said, whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come near to you. This is something people can't forget. They are indeed rejecting the word of God, and they need to know that they are rejecting the kingdom of God if they're rejecting it. The Lord would do things like this. What Jesus said do was, that was the order of the day. But guess what? In your day, when people reject the things of God, they need to know it. And the Lord told me years ago, you need to be more frank with people. And I know if you listen to these broadcasts, I say things face to face because the Lord said you need to be more frank with people. And I believe in what I do. I know for a fact that if you take God at his word, he's going to be with you. You can't fail, because he will not fail you. He will bless you. You just got to learn to trust him and believe him. So continuing, verse 12 says, but I say to you that it should be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Then he said, woe to thee, Chorazin. Woe to thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works have been done in thee, in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Now Jesus knew this. He told the truth. And he knew it by the Holy Spirit. The Lord know who will receive and who won't. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Now that's bad. A whole city tossed into hell. He that heareth you. Now this is where I was getting to. And I wanted to build it up. Because when God send you to people and you speak on his behalf, then they need to receive what God is saying. Verse 16 says, he that heareth you, heareth me. He that despises you, despises me. He that despises me, despises him that sent me. So if I go to a person in the name of the Lord, and they're focused on me and don't receive the word, they're not refusing me, they're refusing the one who sent me. He said, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Never getting pride over your accomplishments. Never getting pride over the success. That success is a grace. The knowledge that you've been blessed to receive is a grace. The predecessors God used to bless you, that's a grace. The anointing is a grace. Your ministry altogether is a grace. God working in your life is a wonderful grace. And that's all it will ever be. It's the blood of Jesus that made all this possible. So everything that works in our life, all of our success is a grace. And when we work, that's our chance to contribute to the creation of God. The work of your hands enables you to contribute to what God has already put in motion. The children you raise, the work that you do, all the things you do to make things better, the money you earn, that gives you a chance to share in the success that God has already put in motion. That gives you a chance to share and in the creation of God. Everything that you do towards the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, it gives you a chance to share into what God already put in motion. So when we yield to the Lord and live according to His wonderful love, it gives you a chance to share in, and God's going to reward you for it. And it's not just to get rewards, but people are going to live. You know, what motivates me more than anything is people living a life unto God again. The healing process of salvation is continued. My desire is to, the Lord said, let not my people lack knowledge. So I took God serious when He gave me that vision and told me that. Sometimes when I sense things from people, some people seem to get in pride, or they feel provoked if I say something that God said. Sometimes people embrace it. Sometimes people might get, I don't know if they get jealous or Cain jealousy or what. I detect things, and that bothers me. That's not something I desire. I don't believe in trying to be better than somebody else, upstage somebody else. That's bad to me. That's phony to me. But I'm thrilled about the grace of God. Everything that I learned from the Lord is a grace. God gave it to me. I didn't have enough sense to know it on my own. And that's just the way it is. And I know that it helped me. And I like to see other people come to life, come to relationship, start operating according to the living love of God. That's what I value. So when I share things with people, that's why. But some people are competitive for whatever reason. I don't like that kind of pride. And God don't either. But there are some, they would get angry and not listen. Some people think they know more, or I don't know. I run into this. And I run into it at word churches, Pentecostal churches. And I know that God's going to resist the proud. And He always does. And the wonderful things that could happen don't because of it. Because God will not build on that evil foundation. You have to have a heart like He is. You have to have a humble heart. You have to be receptive. Now, when people get upset because you said something that was right and they get offended, you know that's not good, because they rejected. If they're angry because you were right, then why couldn't they just receive what was said and build their life with it? Why do they have to find a way to upstage or feel embarrassed? That's not the purpose of what Jesus said. See, Diotrephes, he wanted the preeminence, and that's a dangerous desire. And I'm saying these things because nobody talks about it. And people don't know to watch out for the wiles of the devil. These are the foundational wiles of the devil. If you want the devil in your life, just act preeminent. Act like you have more than others. and nobody know more than you. Get offended when people are learning and growing. And sometimes the people who have inspired me act that way. I've seen preachers that made me want to run faster. Then when you do, they get upset. And that's not healthy. And the problem is, people don't realize how dangerous it is. And I'm not saying these things because I'm offended. I'm saying these things because these things can kill the revival that God wants to deliver. Because I know my Lord, He will not build on that. And I'm tired of seeing. See, I'm saying these things because in the early 90s, the Lord led me with the word to get people to follow Him again. People had come, they broke through and started living by faith. They broke through and started living by authority. They broke through vain traditions to a point. Now it's time to stop building your own house and let God do it. It was time. See, if people would have heard me back in those days and started listening to the Lord, they would have learned a lot of things that God could build on. God is holy. He's not going to build on something. He's not going to build on a weak and sandy foundation. He's going to build on a rock. He always does, and He always will. So in 1990, he had me to talk about these things, about following God. He said, the biggest problem is my people don't follow me. He didn't say the denomination of churches don't follow me. He didn't say, well, other churches don't follow me like word churches. He said, my people, including word churches, Pentecostal churches, people that were already working miracles, they don't follow Him. And so a lot of them have lost their ministries. And I know it. They lost their potential. They got fired. And I know it. Now, they didn't. Some of them are still in ministry, but they got fired. They got fired from the greater vision that God had for them. And I know this. And I felt bad for them. I longed for them to follow God. And I wanted to see the greater miracles. And people have. See, when people believe something the way that they believe it, it can take preeminence in their life. And if they think they're right, they won't repent. If they think they don't see what's wrong with what's wrong and what's right with what's right, they don't even know that they're out of bounds. They don't even know what they're doing is stupid. They don't see it. And they don't know it's not working until it's too late. And then they die without seeing the great revival. That doesn't have to happen. And the reason I said, I've heard and seen people do things that were ungodly, not love. That's why I said stupid. Their ministry becomes a circus. Their priorities become satanic. Now, that doesn't have to happen. And then the Lord will give them over to their own way. He had me listening to Jude chapter 10 this morning. There are things He's made me aware of. And people allow animosity. They allow petty Cain jealousy. And they don't rebuke it. They don't take authority over it. They do it their way. And they can't be part of the greater revival. So, now to those who are humble and they want to know God and they want people, they want to see people in their best condition, and they try to promote people. They try to help people live a life that's promotable. You know, promotion don't come from the east, west, or south. It comes from God. It comes from the north. But we can inspire people to live according to His love, so they can live a promotable life. Now watch that. Verse 21 proves that. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it, so it seemed good in thy sight. So Jesus was rejoicing, and the Father was rejoicing, because he hid revival knowledge from the wise and prudent, like he always does, always will, and always has. And he revealed it to babes, people that will love him. Now, what has happened, the Lord taught me this in the early 90s. I knew this was going to happen. I didn't want it to. The Lord said that it's better for the pastors who know me now to follow me than for me to raise up another generation, which he already did. And he's using them, and he's went around the people that's wise and prudent in their own mind. He's not using them. They're not part of the great revival that's happening right now. They don't even know it's happening. And they don't know why. But they wouldn't repent from their Cain jealousies and the way that they treat God's blood, his people. See, you can't treat people wrong and then be part of the great revival. That's not going to happen. Verse 23, and he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. These are the kind of people that God can relate to. These are the kind of people that God will show himself strong upon. And he was right. His answer was perfect. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. Then he turned, 29. But he went in to justify himself, said to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? See, a person can, they can know right and do wrong and not even realize it. I've been to school. I've been to this. I do that. And sometimes I've been to church all my life. I've been around Pentecostal people. And I know that sometimes they look down on other denominations, and that's not good. The ability to learn something, that's a grace that you receive, and that's good for you. Some people, they're more challenged to learn what you learn. But when I went to the Methodist church, I learned things from Methodist pastors that I didn't learn from Pentecostal preachers. And it helped me. It was key things that I learned. The way that they love each other, the tone that they had towards each other was pure. I learned this. My pastor said that the Lord told him to blend the love of the Baptist church with the believing faith and authority of the Pentecostal church. And see, sometimes when people have success, they can become arrogant, and that's not God. The man who answered Jesus right, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, these five statements that he made is perfect. They lead to greater things. Then he, being willing to justify himself, said, who is my neighbor? Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side, kept going, didn't even try to help. Likewise, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite saw him, did the same thing, passed by on the other side. Verse 33, then a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came, and there he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave to them, to the host, and said, take him, care of him. Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do thou likewise. Now, you know, when you coming from a city that was rude, it can disturb your concepts. That's probably why he said, who was my neighbor? Because he had been around people like the Levite that Jesus just mentioned and the priest that Jesus had just mentioned. But he had never been around a Samaritan that would love his neighbor that he did not know and take care of him and then promise to pay for whatever else he needed. This kind of love comes from the heart. It's if you receive the love of Jesus and appreciate it, this is what you do. You know that people are going to go to hell if they don't get saved. Why not do things in God's strength and say, well, Lord, teach me how to win souls. How can I be a blessing to my brother? This is the heart of God. And I'll leave you with this. The Lord loves us. And we need to love our brothers.